And you know what time it is? It's Friday, August the 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, on the show, Torn in Two. It's a four-year anniversary brought to you by boy, Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. For all your entertainment needs, see the Bishop. Thank you, Bishop, for sponsoring. You too can be a sponsor, sponsor the show by calling Lady J 231-727-5007. With me on this anniversary show, we brought him in a couple years ago, is a blessing to me, my brother, Pastor Melvin Burns. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well.
4 years goes fast, doesn't it?
4 years go fast. That's, you know, about 50 shows a year.
Wow.
So four years.
We're banking them pretty good. All right.
Just want to remind you, just for housekeeping, if you are driving down the road and you would like to see this show, you know, catch us on our social media, WVS 103.7 Debate or M106. Also, we YouTube, the Emoji app, please use these. Or if you're watching, please submit your questions as well. Speaking of that, what is our weather looking like, my brother?
Well, you know, today's a beautiful day, but let me give you the brother for the rest of the week. Get to Muskegon here. All right. This week, today is partly cloudy, but we have a high of 76, low of 53. Tomorrow, again, partly cloudy, nice day, low 61, high 81. Sunday, again, beautiful late summer day, low 64, high 82. Monday, again, we continue partly cloudy, low 68, high 85. Tuesday, low 71, high 87. Wednesday, low 67, high 81. And Thursday, a low 62, high 77. So summer's fighting back.
All right. We started this show 4 years ago. I started with the premises to break the glass and get rid of the smoke about politics and bringing you guys the truth. We're still going on those premises as we start to interview candidates that are, you know, see what they have to offer. But after that, we're going to fact check both sides to make sure that you are a smart voter. I don't care how much it stings. That's our opportunity to bring you the truth. Everybody out there can say amen. All right. With today's show, would you introduce our guest, my brother?
Today's guest, some of you may know if you've been around the Muskegon community, you've seen him in a lot of different facets. He wears a lot of different hats, but generally they're going to be around education and youth. Our guest today is the chairman, founder of Lakehawks Foundation, Muskegon Heights City Councilman. Would you welcome to the microphone today, Ronald Jenkins?
You got to give me that James Brown. Put your hands together for my brother, Ronald D.
How you guys doing, man?
Good. How are you today?
Man, it's a blessed day, man. Sunny day, so we're pretty happy. Pretty happy about the day.
Yeah. For folks that don't know you, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Wow. Well, first thing, I'm a child of God, so let's talk about that one. Talk about that, and but everything else, man, is just minute. I'm just about the children, man, about giving back to the community. That's all I care about. I mean, the accomplishments, things that I do, it's not even all about it, man. It's about really trying to make sure that we're promoting and making a difference in our community.
All right. That's good.
You've been on the show recently a couple times. The reason why is that you're so busy. That you see that our children are the key. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about me putting the effort in and letting our young people see, man, that somebody does care, making a difference in their lives, giving them things to do. I mean, we had all summer long where we talked about making sure that they were busy, active, being mentored to. So, I mean, we're like been, you know, not just waiting for someone else to pull up their sleeves and to get their hands dirty. We've been at that point, man, where we're talking about, let's get our hands dirty. Let's pull up our sleeves. Let's get down and dirty and make something happen for them. And so that's what we've been doing. That's what the Lakehawks and Lakehawks in Flight Foundation has been doing throughout the summer, along with our guns program. I mean, we've just been real actively involved in our youth, trying to get them something different and getting them prepared, ready for school.
at 5 o'clock today, you're going to see here on PA show, a kid, a bright teenager that's graduating from Muskegon Heights and heading to Western Michigan. And he said, and PA asked him the question, what is the thing that is lacking? He said, the thing that is lacking is activity.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. I mean, there's so many things that's out there, I mean, for our young people to do. But at the same time, our young people, our young adults, and even sometimes our older adults have to remember there are people out here that is doing something, mm-hmm. but then it's the small group that ruins it for others. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are things out here that's happening, but once people start doing, it's got to be a group of people saying, no, we're not going to let foolishness happen. We're not going to let people tarnish the good things that's happening around Muskegon, Muskegon Heights, Muskegon County. So that's what I say to people. I mean, there's a lot of great things happening around, but we have to be more involved in making sure that nobody stops the positive things that are happening. So we may have to tell our peers, hey, we're not going to do that. We may have to tell our peers, let's pick up this paper. You know, let's make sure that we're talking positive. Let's make sure we're being positive so that that negativity won't stop people or positive people for wanting to do things mm-hmm. in the community and for our youth.
How important is this? Too many times we're preaching and talking at the kids, but we're not listening.
Well, that you said a positive thing there. Sometimes we're talking, but we're not listening. We're not hearing them. And one of the things that the young people want is someone that hears them. They want to talk. So not all the time that even when we're mentoring, not all the time are we saying something. A lot of times we're just giving them that flow, that floor to be able to release themselves and to talk. And that's one of the things that's good about the community center is that they feel comfortable. They feel free about coming in and having somebody to talk to let out or to vent with. And that's been a positive thing. But again, as adults, we have to learn in order for us to have that positive relationship with our youth, we have to sometimes stop and listen mm-hmm. and hear what they're saying to us and not always ready to respond.
Mm-hmm. And we better do it now because like I was in the prison yesterday and I was told the guys that you don't just somebody comes in front of you and speak at you, you better take note and make sure that what they're saying is mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. Just don't take the word for the gospel.
Well, that's true as well. Again, I mean, if you're talking at me, I'm not going to listen to you. Mm. I'm not hearing you when you're talking at me. So again, if as adults, we're out in the community, we see young people doing some things wrong so that we can keep them out of trouble, keep them out of harm's way. A lot of times it's how you approach them. It's what is how you and what you say to them. And a lot of times I just go, young man, young lady, now you know better, you know, versus don't be doing it or you shouldn't be doing that. A lot of times they take your approach to them. If you come with a more of a positive approach, they're more apt to respect you. Mm-hmm. And thus far, I mean, I've had a positive line of communication with youth or with young adults in general. All because of my approach to them. I mean, you know, it's always when we came back and said, how would you want someone to treat you? You want someone coming yelling at you? I think, you know, even with my, you know, raising my son and my nieces and nephews, there was times where I would like literally talk at them, you know, because I was setting the rules, setting the groundwork. And yet at the same time, I started to learn as I listened to them, like they didn't want me talking at them because they said, listen, we're old enough now to where, you know, all you got to do is say to us, you can talk with us. You don't have to yell at us. You don't have to demean us or bring us down. Just say what you want to say to us and we will hear you. And I took that to heart. And again, being around young people and my nieces and nephews and being around basketball players in general, or sports in general, I get a chance to hear what young people want a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so it helps me to hopefully pass that word on to other adults.
Well, the kids are my children or anyone I coach. You didn't have to say nothing. It was that look.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the, yeah. Back then, man, they listen. Back then, we can change that tone. And, you know, on the court, they'll stop. Or wherever we're at, they'll stop. And they ready to, or they know to get on the line. So, like, we ain't trying to do that.
It's a lie.
We ain't trying to do that. So.
Talking about youth, I know this busy weekend for you. Why don't you tell folks what you have going on this weekend?
Well, this weekend, starting today, man, we have our night on the lake for the boys, which we had postponed from last week due to the weather. We knew that it was going to rain. We knew it was going to storm, even though it got hot in the middle of the day. We knew that as it began to get later in the day and the activities that we have lined up for them and the movies and all those popcorn nights and things like that, we knew that was going to stop and take away a lot of the fun. The bonfire that yourself, Mr. Burns, and the fire department comes out and help with this from the city standpoint to make sure that our kids can have that type of experience. We knew that wasn't going to be able to happen, so we postponed it for today. So at 4 o'clock, starting at 4 o'clock today, we will start our registration. 4 to 7 p.m., we'll start registration. The kids will start coming out and start putting up their tents and taking out their sleeping bags and getting ready with all the snacks and the food and getting ready for a fun-filled night with basketball, fishing, like we said, movies, different activities, flag football, and a lot of other things that we have going on, mentoring session where we have sit-down talk-outs and just encourage them and motivate them as they prepare for a new school year.
How important are those talk-outs?
They're very important. They're very important because we start out by just introducing ourselves and letting them know who we are. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, we start opening the door for them to be able to say who they are. And then we start asking questions like, okay, what do you do? What are you interested in? What are the things that make you more apt to participate in other activities like this? And we start indulging in conversations that way. And at that particular time, we can actually open more doors and get more out of them that way.
Tell us, now this is your second year with the Boys on Lake. Tell us where this idea came from to camp out at Mona Lake.
Well, actually, it started with myself, Javesta Robinson, and Cedric Scott. We were actually just sitting back and we were talking about some things and some things that we wanted to do in the city with the kids and our youth. I mean, we kept talking and saying, hey, you know, they need something to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time, you know, Lake Hawks of Flight was already doing a basketball activity. So we said, you know, what about camping? And all of a sudden we start just putting emphasis and effort into saying, okay, let's do this. And the information that we started talking like, okay, well, let's go up north. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And we all just stopped like, hey, we have a park.
Right.
We have a lake. Why don't we keep it here? We have more accessibility for our children, for parents to get their kids there than they would or trying to transport them to another place. We can have more involvement. Mm-hmm. And that's what started that conversation. I mean, it was 2 months into a conversation before we act on it. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, it was the most positive thing ever. And from that point, we had 60, 70 some kids last year for the boys, but we had a total of maybe like 90 people out there. And then for the girls, we did for the girls last year. I mean, for this present year, we want to do the same thing. And we had 87 girls. Right. So it plays its part. And we have a good number of boys this time. We wanted to have at least 60 to 80 boys this time as well, because football season and other things that's going on. So it cuts the numbers back a little bit. We try to change it. That's why we went the week before to get more numbers for the boys. Okay. But nevertheless, you know, we're going to do everything that we can with the numbers that we have. So I think we're at 48, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Talk about pull an event like this off. Talk about the volunteers that you have to use.
Wow. it's hard, man, sometimes to talk about and to give all the kudos and respect and honor that is given to our volunteers and our administration. Because, I mean, we actually do an iChat. So that we make sure that all of anyone that's coming down and being around youth, they don't have any criminal records or anything that's negative that will keep them away from kids. So we always try to make sure that parents understand that as they signing their kids up, that they're around positive and influential people. But with our volunteers, I mean, we have anywhere from the police officers to city leaders, volunteers, coaches. I mean, you go down the line, people that parents, grandparents that want to be a part that's playing positive things in the lives of children. And so far, man, we got wonderful people. I mean, you got doctors. I mean, you got like Dr. Wilson and Dr. Brian. I mean, the old school mindsets, but yet still pouring into our community. Right. That, you know, you walk around town, you don't see these people, you know, but in the background, these are the same people that is pouring into our youth and making sure events and things are going on and making sure people are having, our young people have an opportunity to enjoy life. And that's what makes me proud about having our volunteers and people that come in and step up to do the right thing. I mean, a lot of people talk about our youth and what we're going to do and all these things. But when you literally put forth the effort like Mr. Burns has done this past year, which he has done now, this would be his third time, I believe. But to put those types of energy in where you're taking away your time that you can be doing something for someone else or doing something for yourself, but like literally blocking your schedule out 4 and 5 and 6 hours at a time. And most of our people are staying overnight. Mm-hmm. So that's an honor to have people like that. So humbly, I say to all of our volunteers and people in our community and those that support, even in the background, humbly, I say thank you. Mm-hmm. Humbly, I say thank you because it's hard. Being a minority organization, we don't get all the funding like people do. You know, we don't get that support. So a lot of times we're coming out of our pockets and we're sacrificing to make these things happen, or we're putting on other programs that support other programs. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's some out there, I mean, that have done some awesome things for us. And that, I mean, I humbly say thank you.
And those breakout sessions, the second half of the show, we're going to talk about mental health. But that breakout session, how important is it for that child to get up and say their name and be recognized and let them know how important they are?
It's very important. And you did talk about mental health in me. It's very important because we want all of our young men, especially just like we did with the young ladies, we want them to know they're somebody. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to say who they are and be proud about who they are and whose they are. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people catch on to that part, whose they are. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why the Lake Hawks in Flight and Lazarus Man Consulting partner together, because there's a lot of mental health. There's a lot of things that happens in our lives of our youth that even just families have breakdowns, lack of communication, lack of support. And sometimes people don't have anybody to talk to. But Lazarus Man Consulting, Cedric Scott came right in. I'm talking about foot first, hands in, elbows in, greased up, let's go, let's do it. And he's been a part and actively involved. And I say to parents, I say to our community, if you need someone to help you with support and mental awareness, mental health, contact Lazarus Man Consulting. He's right there in the middle of the hikes, you know, right there on Peck Street. So you can't miss him. It's the 2400 block of Peck Street, you know. So the help is there, and he'll do whatever. And if he can't help you, I'm determined that he would be able to direct you to the right people.
Right.
So parents, families, young people, Lazarus Man Consulting is a place where you can go and get help. And someone that looks just like you, looks just like me, that can help you out.
Now, before we go, talk a little more about what's going to happen this evening. I know basketball season is getting ready to start.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's there. It's there, man. I'm telling you, I'm excited. Just brought in another general manager. Derek Sargent, so D. Sarge, we brought him in as a general manager, military vet, Navy.
My boy Sarge?
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. He's actively, I mean, he's ready to go. So right now, I am looking for another coach to come in. I mean, there's so many things that I'm doing in the community that I'm actually, so this goes out to Muskegon County. It goes out farther. So those, if you're interested in coaching professionally and or want to learn how to coach, I can walk you through it at the professional level. I can teach you. I'll train you. I'll show you all the ropes. You just need to reach out to me with the heart, dedication, and I will help you get through it as you help the Lakehawks continue to keep on that winning tradition, because that's just a tradition that we have across United States and even over into Mexico. So right now we're looking to get some more guys to go over to the Cinco de Mayo tournament over in Mexico. So hopefully these recruits and things that we have coming in will be able to honor us over in Mexico. So there are opportunities that I say people don't even realize that we have right here in West Michigan. So I wish people could get in my brain, they can get in my heart, and they can see really, I'm talking about the opportunities that our young men have to further their career. I mean, whether they want to go overseas, it doesn't matter where you want to go. You go overseas and make good money. So start someplace, start here and put your dedication there. But we are, so our tryouts, we have, I believe it's September 7th and September 14th. So we're going to be opening the doors. We're going to be over at Muskegon Catholic, training and conditioning. So we're going to be, having people in from Atlanta, down from Florida, from California. So we get, fields from there right now, of guys that want to continue on with their careers. So hopefully we can fill some numbers in with some positive people from around the area that, that believes and don't mind traveling. I mean, a lot of the guys that we've had, and we've had some great guys from Muskegon County. I mean, we've had some, but they don't want to fly. Mm. You know, they don't want to leave their families. I mean, and this is what we have right now. I mean, we've have over 60, 70 some people that have been inside the Lake Hawks organization in some fashion form that are overseas playing ball, that is, has played overseas and back home into their field, whether it's teaching, whether it's in, and I mean, we got a couple officers and detectives. We have other coaches, but they've ran out there. They've done their basketball career and they went back to what they studied in. So, but we just got to get our young people. We must get our young people to understand, take those opportunities, take those risks. Don't be afraid of that gamble. Mm-hmm. Get outside these four walls and see what life really has in store for you.
I gotta get my Chucks on and my shorts and the 70s on.
Proper way to set shot.
There it is. It's, I mean, it's up and down tempo, man. It's quick, it's fast. The rules are complicated. With the NBA, you got 8 seconds to get the ball over across half court. You know, in the ABA, you only have 7 seconds, and you think that 1 second it doesn't make a difference. It really does. Okay. And in the ABA, if you don't get it across, you have a turnover, which forces a 3D light. And once that 3D light comes on, everything else is extra. So if you have a two-point goal, it's 3 points.
Oh, wow.
You shoot a three-pointer, you get 4 points. Oh. So it's and even in the free throws, you get fouled shooting a three-pointer, you're shooting 4 free throws.
Okay.
So everything is extra, and you wonder why the points. I mean, you get to going, and you get teams that's pressing and hard nose like we were in Muskegon Heights with Lee Giver. I mean, you up in the gut, nose and nose, you're pressing. We're enforcing some turnover. So just think, I mean, we're averaging, the Lake Hawks is averaging 115 plus points a game. Okay. And we do that because we run, we up tempo. And these guys can shoot. I work on proficiency for a reason. I want your percentage shots up. I want you working on your technique. And we teach all of that. I mean, it's literally, I mean, people, again, people look at me, Mr. Burns, and they look at this ball-headed boy out of Muskegon Heights, born and raised, and, you know, walked down Fifth Street to go to school, you know. But this ball-headed boy out of Muskegon Heights, you know, went and did some things that the average person probably would never get a chance to do in life. Mm-hmm. Sit at the table and get training and tutoring from the best of the best coaches. When you go to Larry Brown, you go all the way down the line. Bill Laimbeer, you keep going and going and going. I mean, blessed to be able to be inside those arenas with these people. And all I did was brought that back to everything that I've done. So the traveling that I've done and I've been fortunate enough to do throughout the ABA and sitting on the executive board of the ABA, overseeing 36 other teams throughout the ABA. These are things that people don't know that I do. Mm-hmm. And I have the privilege of doing all because, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to do that.
Folks listen to you today, how can they get in touch with you concerning the Lake Hawks and Lake Hawks Foundation?
Well, I'm going to tell most of them, you can go and like us on Lake Hawks and Flight Foundation page, go and like our Lake Hawks basketball page, inbox is there. The office number is 231-769-9617. 231-769-9617. And I don't mind putting out my personal cell phone number again, 231-578-8798, because if it's important to you to get in contact with me, it's important for me to follow back up with you to give you that opportunity. So it's there, Mr. Burns. I mean, I tell you, I give I'm fair, I'm firm, and I'm consistent. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe in. Ms. Roberts, you've been knowing when I was out coaching out at Western Mission Christian and we got to the college. I mean, three things that I coach on. I'm fair, I'm firm, and I'm consistent. Those are the things that I carry on in life too. So people may not like it. I mean, players didn't like it, you know, like, okay, well, he given, you know, just like a parent, you know, mm-hmm. you can't treat all the kids mm-hmm. exactly the same, mm-hmm. but you're fair, mm-hmm. you're firm, and you're consistent. Right. And your consistency doesn't seem like you're consistent, mm-hmm. but it is, but you deal with personalities. Mm-hmm. You deal with the well-being of the individuals. So that's how we've been able to be successful and perform and put on championship teams, because we get guys, we get young ladies that will run through that door because they know what you stand for. So that's where we are right now in West Michigan and the West Michigan Lakehawks. And if you're looking forward to playing, reach out. Don't be afraid. Yes, we do send players home. I've had players fly in one night and the next day I'll tell them, you know, unfortunately, you don't meet the criteria, and they fly out or take the train out the next day. So, but we're fair, we're firm, and we're consistent.
Okay, so give us the what's happening tonight. Because we're running out of time.
Okay. So tonight, again, 4 p.m., 7 p.m. is registration. Night on the Lake with the boys, ages 10 to 16, right at Mona Lake, City of Muskegon Heights, right off the shoreline. So you can't miss it. When you ride up the shoreline, you see those tents. Sometimes some people just honk your horn, let us know that you're out there. But we're going to be, you'll see movie night. So you'll see the big projector screen out there tonight. Young people will be out there watching movies, eating popcorn. You'll see laser tag going on out there. You'll see a lot of games. You'll see them playing basketball. You'll see them over there fishing. So we already sprayed the areas out, so we don't have to worry about too many bugs. So we're pretty excited about what's happening right in the city of Muskegon Heights on this day, on this special day.
It's not too late to sign up.
Oh, yeah, it's too late to sign up now. Oh, it's too late. Yeah. We wanted to make sure everybody had shirts. We wanted to make sure everybody going to be in lime green. So you'll see a lot of lime green out there tonight, a lot of green shirts. But we did. We wanted to make sure, and we did. We had an extra week for people to sign up as well as volunteers. I mean, I say this, and we said this to everyone, even volunteers, we had more than ample enough time for you to come up and sign up. Unfortunately, if you haven't by now, it's too late. But we had to do the iChat insurance purposes and to make sure that parents feel safe and secure with their kids being away from them overnight. So if you come there and we tell you that you cannot stay, don't be offensive. Don't take offense. Just be ready to be a part of us next season.
And don't think you can come at this last second to be a volunteer, because it is a process that you have to go through.
Absolutely. I appreciate you putting more emphasis on that, because, again, we don't want to turn people away, because we do know. But if you know that we can use you as a volunteer, trust me, we got more activities to come this year and next year. So we're excited about having you being a part of what the Lake Hawks and Flight is doing.
All right. Ronald Jenkins, we want to thank you on this.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, brother. Appreciate you guys, man.
Honor you, and we appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Mr. Roberts, Mr. Burns, PA. Mihan, Big Rob, everybody, man, from 103.7 The Beat, and everything that's going on, what you guys got going on here, it's exciting. It's been fantastic. Again, what you guys are giving back to the community and keeping the community informed, this is what we need to help our community be better. So we can only be better by being together. So again, thank you guys for inviting me. Now I'm gonna get back so I can get back to work, because I got to be right. Ready at 4 o'clock. Yeah. So
all right,
thank you guys.
All right, thank you. Listen,
many travelers dream of experience.
Oh, go ahead.
Many travelers dream of experiencing the beauty of Tanzania, from its stunning national parks to vibrant cultural sites. Yet the costs often seem overwhelming. But with Visit Tanzania for Less, exploring this East African gem on a budget is not only possible, but incredibly rewarding. Whether you're a solo backpacker, a volunteer, or just a budget-conscious traveler, we provide valuable insights and resources to make your journey unforgettable without breaking the bank. Book your trip now with just a $300 deposit and flexible monthly payments until your travel date. For more travel inspiration and tips, follow us on Instagram or visit us at visittanzania4less.com. Visit Tanzania for Less, your dream adventure within reach.
When smoking gives you COPD, you learn to lie a little bit.
You make up excuses like, I have to get my keys. You guys go on. Anything so you can walk at your own pace. I used to do that all the time. Those lies don't work anymore. My tip is, the worst lies are the lies you tell yourself. Like smoking isn't that dangerous.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
And welcome back to Torn In 2. Man, this is a special day to me. When we started this 4 years ago, I didn't know how long it would go. 4 years in the making.
Amen.
Almost 50 shows a year.
Amen.
So, and then we brought on Pastor Burns.
Yes.
And we plan on to continue going on this anniversary show. You can introduce our next guest, who is no stranger to the show.
Yeah, excited to have our next guest here. You may know him from being around the community. His name is Mickey Wallace. He's here from Health West today, and we're going to talk about mental health in our community.
Yes.
Something we don't talk about nearly enough.
Yeah.
So we hope to raise the conversation today. Brother Wallace, why don't you introduce yourself and tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man, less is more, gentlemen. I want to make sure we make time for all the questions.
Yes.
So, Mickey Wallace, born and raised here in Muskegon, Michigan. Had the privilege of gracing these airwaves for a number of years and working with G-Man a couple capacities. Of course, Rob, PA, just the whole family here, man. So Muskegon is my home. Muskegon is where my heart is at, man. So, okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump in.
Let's do it.
Give us a report card. Where are we with mental health in our community? You know, it's a report card we want to take from mama.
All right.
Where we are.
So,
where we're headed.
I guess that's a good question to follow up on the DNC with. So, I would honestly say that is a very subjective report card.
Okay.
Because as blacks, as African Americans, put it all together for us in the diaspora, based on our socioeconomic status, we're gonna see that report card look a little different.
Okay.
You know, so when we say a report card, I would be remiss to not acknowledge the levels that we exist on. And some of us are a little more well off than others, and some of us not quite so. We're working on getting there. So, but overall, man, if I had to give us a grade as blacks in the diaspora, is when it comes to our mental health, say, man, we got a strong C minus. I would feel
okay.
C minus.
Wow. Okay, I'm
62. We ain't failing.
I'm 62, and I can remember. You know, we don't talk about mental health.
We don't go
see mental health professionals.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, we don't use the word in the house, but you know, if they crazy,
there you go.
So we don't use that word in our household,
right?
But you know, if they went to see a psychiatrist or a counselor, they was crazy.
Yeah, that's why I didn't give us a D or a lower rating because I believe in. I'm 40. And so in that time, I'm right in that generation of, you know, raised by my grandparents and you don't talk about what's going on in the house to be able to embrace the revelation of, oh, you need to get this out. You need to talk about these things in a structured capacity. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for my generation to kind of be able to help be a bridge for that gap. Of understanding, because I'll comment on my father, man. One thing, I love my father. One thing he told me, and he said this in front of my son. My son's 14. We were talking about my therapy sessions. I've been in therapy consistently for the last 5 years, the same therapist. And my dad, he was telling me how proud of me he was.
Nice.
And in front of, it was a great conversation for my son to hear, because I want to normalize therapy for him, should he choose to pursue that down the road. And my dad said to my son, he says, man, you guys should really be proud of your dad, because that's something I would never do. He says, I've worked a long time to push that stuff down, and I don't see me opening it up for anybody.
Wow.
Kaboom. Right? Wow. Kaboom. Wow. You couldn't ask for no more honesty than that. And it just really shows you the generational mindsets of normalizing therapy. And nah, that ain't what we crave. You crazy if you do that. You don't tell nobody.
He just crossed all those generational borders.
Yeah. So yeah, I was really happy to hear him say that. But that's why I give us a strong C minus.
But those generational—that's important, because we were told men don't cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, rub some dirt on the kid.
Some,
get
walk
back
it
in
off.
The game.
Yeah. Walk it off.
But we're actually, a lot of us are inside, just struggling and don't know how to deal with it. Or people in the 60s or older right now living paycheck to paycheck and don't know how to deal with it. because they didn't learn how to deal with it in an earlier age.
Very much so. Very much. That's, you raise a good point there with the finances. A lot of the time, the quality service, and I'm very careful in using that because there are some free services, sliding fee scale services that are quality. But when you really think about the therapists who have the capacity to bring more of us on, as you know, for on their workload, if it's free services, they'd be pretty strapped for time. And sometimes you might not be able to get an appointment for a little while out. And so sometimes we associate being able to get helped with a dollar amount as well. And if you ain't got the, if you live in paycheck to paycheck, last thing you're thinking about doing is giving the therapist some money, right? Let's just be honest what it is. My mother told me one time, she said, I was talking about therapy, man. She says, you ain't got to do all of that. You could talk to me. I say, what? She said, I therapize the therapist. I say, number one, this is why I will not talk to you. That statement don't even make sense. And I love my mama to death. I knew exactly what she meant. I knew exactly what she was saying. But I say that, I can't let that one apply to me. Nah, mama, because I know out of love, we going to counsel each other out of love.
Yes.
That's not therapy. Yes. That's a form of therapy, but that is not objective, pragmatic therapy. You need someone who is objective, a little bit removed from your personal situation, and has some evidence-based practices to give to you, not just what they did wrong or right or what they think should have been done, but actual evidence-based practices that we can follow. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
I want to
go ahead.
We're gonna talk about, I want to say this, and I want to go back to how do people start, but I want to say this because Greg and I are both involved in ministry.
Amen.
And one of the things a professor said to me so near, he said, you're there to teach people the gospel and give spiritual counseling, but it's ministerial malpractice for you to try to do other forms of counseling.
You know,
and I know in ministry, we've failed people for years. You know, you don't need those medications. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need a counselor.
Just need to
pray. And
you just need call.
Our
just
profession to has to do better in terms of, you know, there's, as you know, if we aren't trained in it, we don't need to be pretending like we can just pray it all away and you know, and lay hands and just go, if they'll be better next week. But I wanted to say that, but that's for people that's like, you know, I'm listening to this program today.
Yeah.
How do I start?
Woo. I would say being honest with yourself first.
Yeah.
If there is a coverall answer, and this is not meant to be a coverall answer, but if I had to take one approach, brothers, into how do we start this process, is being honest with ourselves first. Mm-hmm. I gotta be able to admit that I can't do this on my own.
Okay.
And for a while we was taught, you can't, you good. You are just walk it off, put some dirt on it, pray about it, right? I'm going my prayer closet, but it's still there, right? And I can fake the funk long enough. Mm-hmm. I can lie to y'all all day, that man, a person in the mirror, that's the real reflection. And so just being honest with the self and going, I've been trying these practices. I've been praying. I've been faithful. I've been tithing. I've been rubbing dirt on it and walking it off. And it still has a hold on me. If I was to break my leg, I'm going to the hospital. My mind is broken. I need to go to therapy. I need the mental hospital, right? I'm not psychiatric, you know, in the need of psychiatric care maybe, but I know that there are some imbalances that I have in the way that I'm processing my wellness, right? If I'm running to the scapegoats of life, right? The drugs, sex, alcohol, you know, a number of other things that work as stopgaps for a while to help us forget, or let's be honest, if I'm overinvesting in other people's problems and not dealing with, that's another form of a stopgap. So we gotta first be honest. Because it's easy to go, oh, gee, man, look, man, you need to get your collar together. Like, wait a minute, is collar wrong? My life wrong? Which one is more important right now, right? Let me focus on me. So I think just that honesty, brothers, with self is the biggest thing. Because once I got honest with myself, and just speaking personal experience, once I got honest with myself, the barrier started to come down and the shame started to whittle away around what I felt other people would think when I realized that I'm not good. And I got honest with me first.
And realizing Ronald Jenkins in the first half of the show was talking about the kids going fishing.
Yeah.
And there was a trigger
because
I'm going to take you back experience where, you know, I'm on a boat with my dad and my sister and Touch that fish, boy. Touch that fish, boy. I think I'm like the only kid that got beat on a boat. But I mean, it's that instantly he said fishing, and my mom went bam,
boom, yep.
But you know, I was able to make that out with my dad making a mentally, but that trigger just that thought.
Yes, yes. You want to expand on that? The triggers, you know,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Please do.
It's such a sweet spot to talk about because we work so long and they can be rooted in so many childhood experiences. I mean, there's evidence-based practice called ACEs, acute childhood experiences, to where the formula says that if you've experienced so many of these 7 to 10 acute experiences, you're more inclined to be incarcerated, to have to live below the poverty line, to switch jobs this many times, mm-hmm. to not be in stable relationships, to to be addicted to things. The data is there. We don't need to argue about any of that. Do the childhood things matter? Oh, that happened to you forever ago. And it's still showing up today. So that means that that trigger is just as real as if it would have happened to yesterday to you, G-Man.
Because I haven't been fishing yet. I know I got to take a grandson fishing. So it's something that I got to work on. So I'm going to have to schedule a report.
It's real. It's real.
But really, seriously, talk about those childhood droughts,
yeah, the trauma
we go through,
yes,
but we don't deal with, and mm-hmm. then we try to bring that into our life and into relationships,
oh, yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. But we weren't healed about something that happened when we were mm-hmm. 5 and 4 years old.
And again, Muskegon, globally, if you're listening online, 103.7 to be hearing us, man, these are not cover all answers, you know, we have limited perspectives, but. You know, understand that we are more alike than not. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to those traumas and those triggers, man, it's really helpful to just remember that they are as unique as we are, mm-hmm. right? What triggers you? I'm cool with fish, right? You know what I'm saying? I ain't going, but G-Man has a trigger for, so it might not look the same. Mm-hmm. So I can't compare myself. Oh, at least I ain't that bad. You know, I thought I was messed up, but yeah. fish, man, yeah. you can't even touch a yeah. fish. You need therapy, not me.
Yeah.
No, we both still need it because it's showing up in our other instances. It's showing up in relationships, employment, how we rear children, how we serve in the community. It shows up in everything. The reason we can't trust each other. Now, it's not all encompassing, but it is a big part of it. Because if I can't let myself, black men, if we can't let ourselves be vulnerable around other black men, let's revisit the church hurt. Let's revisit the single parent homes. Let's revisit. Now, I'm going back slowly, but anybody that really know me will tell you I never really have these discussions far removed from the racism, the racist structure, the racist impact that has had over generations of our people. Mm-hmm. I never had these discussions removed from that. That is a factor.
Yes.
That is the race has mm-hmm. been a factor. Jim Crow has been a factor. The racist construct that still exists today that operates how we move now is still a factor. Yes. So when we black men ain't lazy, but when you've been marginalized for decades, yes. your generation, your group gonna show up looking a little different.
Right.
Right. It's crazy that we're 14% of the U.S. population. That's all of us blacks. But we are so much more than that in the prison system. Get what I'm saying? And then even what gets into the media, we have far more black men and women who have graduated, who earned great incomes, two-parent households. But that's not what's on the forefront. We have to go looking for that data. So even what we're being fed daily about yes. us. If it's not coming from it. One of the reasons I love 103.7 The Beat is giving you black perspectives on a positive angle. You can listen any time of the day and get some great black news around about what we're doing throughout the globe. Mm-hmm. We need to address, in my opinion, we need to address mental health on more than just the mental front, the psychological front. It's in our finances. Mental health is in our education. Mental health is in our spiritual religious system. Mm-hmm. All of the components that make us us. Mm-hmm. It's never just one faceted. You don't fix one thing. You go to, you know what I'm saying? You didn't took your car in before, y'all. You took your car in. You go for an oil change. You're like, why you got my oil filter in your hand? Why you got the air filter in your hand? Well, this was bad, too. You need the brakes. It's more than what we initially know, and it's not until we get a professional up under the hood that we can start to assess things.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about a little
yes,
bit
sir.
That a lot of people go through about us being in the ministry.
Yeah.
Is that church hurt.
Yeah.
I had to sit down
mm-hmm.
and go through a year
mm-hmm.
And after going through a year with me and my wife of going through therapy,
yes,
of church hurt, and then going to another church, and they said, you sit down and do nothing for another year. Mm-hmm. And just take in the word and let us love on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slowly get back in this thing. Talk about that, because church hurt is so deep.
Yeah. Well, that was a foundational piece. That is a foundational piece for Blacks. If we look back historically, that was one of the first things we were allowed in the racist construct of the Americas, is a place to congregate, as long as we were coming around that, gathering around that. And so a lot of our identity is tied to that. So when you're hurt in the place that you told you're supposed to be the safest, mm-hmm. it's going to resonate so much more deeply wow. than if a stranger, you know, threatens you or accosts you, down to, you know, the people who, this is my seat every Sunday, you know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. that's rooted in something, you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. the church hurt goes so much deeper than just the building itself, right? Because the church isn't the building, the church is us, right? It is in you, it is in me, wherever we go, two or three are gathered, right? So the church is in us. But the challenge that I've saw with us is that when we're hurt in the building, we push that to everybody that might even represent the building or the entity of the creator. We assign it to everybody then, because I can't be hurt like that again. You know what I'm saying? The place I'm supposed to feel the safest.
Yes.
So, yeah, it has a huge part to play. But I would never tie in together the spiritual healing of the religious healing of church with the psychological healing of a person who's not necessarily in church. Mm-hmm. You can have two different things. Like you said, you and your missus went through a few sessions and did a job. I'm mindful that you have to use the appropriate tools for the appropriate job.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
so right. It's okay to have a spiritual therapist, mm-hmm. have a spiritual counselor, but it ain't that therapist's job to give you scripture and minister to you. They can use it maybe in therapy, read some of this, but no, give me the evidence-based practices that's removed from the religious aspect, because I know that once I start healing here, I'm going to use these same practices to heal over here a little more readily.
Yeah.
It's just, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. I know I can go on about this, brothers. I'm sorry. I'm
going to back.
I'm like, man, look.
You know, a couple places. I'm gonna we've seen the last couple of years, Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
High name profile say, no, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I need to take a break. Probably Dr. Olympics, looks like Stephanie Kraft might be at that same place where I'm good at this.
And they were criticized.
But I need to step back and make sure I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did it make an impact, as you see, for other young people? You know, this is under 20 who may see the same things and go, you know, maybe I'm functioning, but maybe I'm not good.
Okay. Finish this lyric for me, brothers. Drifting on a memory. What's the next line?
Ain't no place I'd rather be.
That is woven into you at this point. Right. I could wake you up and ask you any line about that. That has impacted you from hearing it. That you don't know him.
That's right.
You don't know any of the other writers. You don't know the band, but that has stuck with you.
Yes.
I use it as a quick reference to say, yes, anyone in a public eye that looks like you, that speaks mm-hmm. up, that the world would assume because they have a certain dollar amount that mm-hmm. they're okay mentally,
yeah.
because that's what we usually associate. Oh, you got money. You good. What you tripping for? No. Nothing else. More money, more problems, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I look at what we're being programmed into, I say that any person that has a platform that would advocate for mental health on their for themselves bears that same kind of hold that our music and any other system has on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids are going to remember that. People are going to remember watching them do that and think about just how readily you was coming up with that line.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could have told, y'all got kids. We got kids. How many times you told your kids something and then they'd be like, well, I learned this from school today. You like, I've been telling you that for the past.
You just don't start to wire.
Simone Biles just said it. So, yes, as many ways and as many venues and avenues and times as we can hear it, we need to hear it. It needs to be normalized on a national, global scale. I love to know that LeBron James meditates. You know what I'm saying? I love to hear stuff. I love to hear Michael Jordan tuned out everybody before he went. Yes. You know, I love it because it reminds me of, oh, man, well, maybe therapy and meditation and these practices ain't just for those folks over there.
Yes.
If athletes are using it,
yeah,
You know, we go to athletes, that you go to the Olympics when Stephen Curry made those last several shots,
mm-hmm.
and you just go, man, he's a great ball player. But it took practice for him to get there.
Thousands of shots.
And people need to understand mm-hmm. when it comes to our mental thinking.
Yeah.
These are the things that we need to work out yeah. over and over yeah. again.
Yeah. I would simply say that on a really elementary aspect, it's easier to think that healing starts from the outside in. Right. It's easy to think I can go do these push-ups or shoot a ball this way and then I'm gonna be okay psychologically. No, you're doing the aspects of repetition to perfect a muscle, right? Muscle memory when you're shooting them shots, muscle right?
Memory.
It does. Now take that same work ethic and let's apply it to actual mental health,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you got athletes who are great athletes and then we see them posing with their guns on Instagram and now they in jail or they getting kicked out of the league or they tied up with some women or the whole, a whole nother line mm-hmm. because the psyche wasn't in place. The physical body was ready,
right?
But the man inside, the spirit being wasn't ready. It wasn't nurtured for that environment. To be able to withstand that environment. And so every time I look at it like that, I think of it just the same way. The repetition that we take in putting our kids through sports, we have to be just as intentional with prioritizing their mental wellness. How much time am I making my child detach from the phone or online or social media? Do I mandate book reading time during the day outside of their curriculum? Right outside of it, because we know the education system is what it is, right? Let's not be, I ain't gonna get into that. That ain't today's show. But are we normalizing that in the home? And then as parents, are we practicing in ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that, I'm just very mindful that anytime we can have an outlet like this to be able to talk about it is helpful. Every little bit helps.
You know, I used this as in conversation yesterday at the present.
Mm-hmm.
I says, you know, Tiger Woods, one of the greatest golfers ever.
No doubt. Undoubtedly.
He also was one of the greatest other things when it dealt with women.
Yeah.
Because he was dealing with issues.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of issues that we're hiding inside, pretending that we're perfect.
Yeah.
Like he said, we've been in the ministry. We could have the cross, the Bible, and quote the scripture.
Yeah.
How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? But I know a couple that they couldn't even drive to church together. They used two cars.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the people are struggling. And we're not just picking on church, but we're just saying that out there that there's so much hurt out there.
Yeah.
And yeah. we're just holding into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Holding on to it.
We've learned in the essence, G-Man, that's an awesome point you made there of being able, what we look like ain't always what we're going through. Yeah.
Say
right, what we look like ain't always what we're going through. I can be dressed to the nines, man, and it just be falling apart behind the scenes. And so I am mindful of that you can't just look at the outward appearance. You know, your brothers look good. Your beards are trimmed up, you know what I'm saying? You got the nice shaved head over there, you know, you guys look good, right? That don't mean you ain't got some things that you're struggling with, right? And I think so many times we try to hide that part. Because it's shameful. We embarrass sometimes. We don't want to be the mentor and the person receiving therapy. Mm-hmm. However, I'm a mentor and I also receive therapy. Mm-hmm. What I look like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's perceived as weakness.
It's perceived as
and
weakness.
Say, like my age group, and shout out to, I got 5 partners from high school, man. We text and we start sports. But you know, it gets into real life stuff.
Yes.
We done talked about health and prostates and divorce and all that stuff. So shout out to those brothers, man. But you know, when a guy your age say, "Hey man, I love you," man, it just
right.
Yeah.
You know, brothers, man, they're, you know, Father's Day, you know, birthdays, man, love you, but man, just you know, 10, 15 years ago, man, guys my age weren't doing that.
You are correct.
Know, so I'm seeing the involvement, even you know, of our brothers. But talk about resources in the community.
Let's do it. Okay, so obviously, I'm gonna represent what my employer is right now for the first part, man, because there are some great resources coming out of one of our local behavioral health entities, Health West of Muskegon County Behavioral Mental Health. And I'm gonna share these with you, brothers, as well. If I got a text from the Rob or PA, y'all can post them if needed. Yes. But a few things for those of you that are listening that you can check out right now. One of the things that we are doing is the Muskegon Community Learning Collaborative. And this opportunity is accessible through Eventbrite. So you can follow us. You can go to healthwest.org, follow us there as well. Have a lot of this stuff posted. But we have reduce, you know, we're looking at reducing stigmas, overcoming barriers. We're looking at, you know, life planning, right? Things that we weren't necessarily taught or growing up with. So we just kind of got to figure it out later. Yeah. We're looking at having workshops on these initiatives to help normalize therapy, to help remove some of those stigmas around why we can't get there and what the hiccups are, what the hangups are. We're looking at practicing and developing skills for community leadership. Okay. A lot of the times we pass the book, right? Yeah. Oh, no, that's past the job. Yeah, you got. I ain't going over there and talk with them Kamaramazamas, right? I'm going to let you go do that, right? No, it's all of our responsibility. Yes. But sometimes we don't have the practices to learn skills. And be no different than putting me on an NBA team. Yeah, I'm tall, but I ain't that good. You know what I'm saying? I need the skills.
Yes. Right.
So one thing I love about Health West is that we are positioning ourselves to provide these resources. You have great resources like Lazarus Man Consulting, like Let's Go, you know, Brother Scott, you know, like wonderful, wonderful practitioner. Mm-hmm. You know, Hackley Community Care as well. So we have a number of resources right here in our own community. But it's the intentionality that we have in ourselves to seek them out, because chances are they not open at 10 p.m. You got to be there at 10 a.m. in the daylight where other people can see you going in. Yeah. So we got to get past some of those things, right? One of the things I will share out over air as well is our mobile crisis and warm line. So many times, you know, we find ourselves in those crunch times where we don't know who to call. We have a 24-hour warm line that you can have somebody to talk to, whether it's suicide ideation,
Yes, sir.
If it's 2 a.m, if it's 5 a.m, it's 5 p.m, the same number works. And that is 722-HELP, H-E-L-P, 722-4357. That is our 24/7 mobile crisis response line. So whether we need somebody to talk to or somebody to come out, I've worked with this department personally. I remember one morning in particular, it's about 1:30 in the morning, we get a call and we all the way out in Whitehall, right? For helping a family with a couple of their youth, right? Changed my perspective for the better. Broke me down, don't get me wrong. I cried on the way home. I ain't gonna even lie, y'all. I cried on the way home because it was just like, this is real, right? It ain't just us. It ain't just in our homes. It's everywhere.
Let's go to
we got a question from Michael Anthony Smith. He
says, Houston, Texas.
He says, I'm assuming you're referring to counseling. He said, isn't it just a dependency occupation for dollars? I'm assuming he's talking about counseling.
Without a little more context in that, I don't want to over answer or ill articulate an answer to that question. But when I look at the word codependent, I think of two people by the definition. Y'all can pull this up if I'm wrong. When I'm thinking of codependent, I'm looking at people who are enabling each other that don't have the progressive or best interest of each other at hand. Mm-hmm. We're holding each other back. Mm-hmm. Right. We're not helping each other be our best. We're helping each other be our best worst. Right. So when I think of enabling.
Wow.
I think of it in that context. Now, if the brother has a different context, I'll happily answer that a different lane. But from my own experience, brother, my own experience in therapy, I am grateful for the relationship I have developed with my therapist, because it took about 2.5 to 3 years for me to even build the trust to get out of my own way to be helped. Yeah. Because I'm smart. Right. I'm smart. And when my granny say, oh, you're too smart for. Young good.
There you go. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta figure out what his angle is. What
angle. I go in there, I'm paying this person. G-Man, I'm paying him money to go just talk to him. Like I'm like, we kicking it up. I ain't getting help from that. And it's not their job to fix me.
Yes.
That's the thing about therapy, people, us. It is not their job to fix us. I can do the fixing. It's your job to equip me with the tools.
Ooh.
It's your job to normalize this process. I got work to do. When you go to church, the pastor don't save you. You're not saved by the graces of the pastor. No. Articulate the word. Let that penetrate me. I'm going to have my own relationship with the creator, because guess what? I was woven just like you was woven, and there's a calling on me like this one on you. It's not your job to fix me. So when I look at therapy and normalizing those things, brothers and sisters, it's really just a matter of, can we accept humility to the point to where we can lay down what we think we know and be open enough to receive the help?
With that said, Mickey, we have to go. We got to have
anytime, man. I love this. I love y'all.
With Cedric Scott, with Lewis Churchwell,
Yes, Lewis. Yes, that's my big brother.
Part of our team, our mental health team, and there's so much that we have to break down. We got to have you back and have you back really, really soon, especially in this political environment where people are going nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And this was our happy anniversary. This was four years we've been doing this.
Amen. I share.
And as long as God gives us breath, we're going to continue to bring you the truth of what's happening. Yes. Go out, sow that seed in somebody's life. You never know who you're touching. Oh, Pastor, all right, Reverend Burns, Mickey, thank you so much.
Indeed.
4 years, Muskegon. Hopefully we'll see you four more years. Amen. Take care. God bless.